Money 93.7 FM, your business radio.
Disclaimer. All opinions expressed by our guests are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinion of Money FM or any of its affiliates.
Money Night Show, and this is in particular Outside In at Money, the show where we talk about companies on our local security exchange. I'm in studio with the CEO of Financial Insight Zambia, Mwelo Chibesakunda, and so we're going to continue our discussion. But just for you guys to know, please send us your messages whilst we're discussing. If you have any questions or comments you want to make, you are welcome to. The number is 0967-144-220. And that's good for mobile texts and WhatsApp texts as well, 0967-144-220. And also use our social media platforms as well on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Use the hashtag Money Night Show or tweet directly at Money FM Zambia. All right, now, speaking of communication, I just love my segues.
Yes, yeah, you always have a very beautiful way of ushering us in. Hello, listeners. Gosh. Yeah, so we're back now with part two of the show. The second company, Airtel.
Okay.
Everywhere you go.
Yep, everywhere Airtel. You go. So this was one of the, I think this was maybe the second IPO I ever got in.
Really? Yeah. Yes. I threw some money in there as well. But anyway, that's a long story.
That is a long story, actually.
Yeah. I didn't understand what I was doing at the time.
Oh, you mean you actually liquidated what you had?
Yeah, no. I didn't understand what yeah, when they gave the mandatory offer. So,
they gave the mandatory offer.
But anyway, Airtel recently published their half year, results. And you know their half year ends in at June. So
okay,
this one actually came out on the 24th of September. Now, what's obviously quite interesting is that when we looked at the results of at half year, we're seeing a bit of a lackluster performance. Now, one of the things that I'll have listeners know, we'll take you back to some of the earlier articles that we wrote. Towards the epilogue of last year, Airtel had obviously just done a huge investment around its network. They went 4G everywhere, and which was obviously quite impressive. At the moment, by feel, it looks like Airtel has the much stronger 4G network in Zambia.
Yeah.
Zamtel will argue otherwise. But and then they only just launched in the Copper Belt last week, so I don't know what they're talking about.
Oh, Zamtel.
Yeah, Zamtel, yeah. So anyway, one of the interesting things around this is that, Airtel now comes in at half year with a fairly lackluster performance.
Okay.
And, what they're seeing now is, though they're number two at the moment, with MTN being the number one, their coverage in terms of subscribers is also obviously quite substantial.
Yeah.
I mean, at the moment, what they saw was that, the customer base was obviously up by 9.2% on a year-on-year basis. And it now stands at about 5.36 million subscribers. Now, one of the things that, that's stood out for us when we did the analysis was, although these were unaudited results, these came on the back of, the fourth mobile provider license being issued in Q1, I think Q1, Q2.
Mm-hmm.
And, obviously now with issues of the price war that, which was instigated by Airtel themselves. So, when they talk about, revenue, falling by 7.9% on a year-on-year basis, where revenues came in at about 976 million. It's all because of the price war that that they entered into. So you slash prices, that's obviously going to hurt your revenue and to a certain extent bottom line. Though unfortunately for them, saving grace was the bottom line came in with a lower profit after tax that was calculated at half year. Now, obviously, caution is necessary on the tax bit. What we noticed that obviously there was a bit of a substantial tax that was obviously paid. So that obviously plays in. That's why half year results are a bit meek.
Yeah.
So you will probably have to wait until end of year to see how truly the company actually did perform. Now according to Sen's announcement, The company obviously indicates that you know, profit after tax was up by 39.89%, and you know, it rose to about 130 million kwacha, and this was obviously due to operational efficiencies in comparison to the previous year. Now, when we look at the statement operational efficiencies on a year-on-year basis, this is a company that obviously now rolled out its 3G network. There are certain efficiencies that they must have inherited after that particular project, and you know, this, you know, credit to the management team for obviously achieving this, because that means that, you know, they you know, it will help improve their return on investment, their ROI. Now, one of the things that we obviously then now picked out is that obviously they, you know, there's quite a bit of competition, and even the company themselves actually do admit it. You can only imagine, she. You know, you've got your Zantel, you've got your MTN, you've got your, well, Vodafone, you know, Vodacom was Vodafone, you've got your, you know, you've got your Uzi as well. That is yet to rear its head on the market. So we don't know what the rest of the year...
Have they confirmed that they're coming?
They confirm, but then you have to remember that there's also obviously a bit of the debacle in terms of the leadership of Uzi, because it's a company that's under the Dos Santos Santos connection. So there's a bit of a challenge there. So at the moment, you know, we've been hearing whispers of possible collaborations, but we can't confirm anything. It'll be quite interesting in terms of what form shape that Uzi actually comes out with. Now, one of the things that we obviously have to realize is that the reason why Airtel went into that price war was because it needed to regain its lost market share. Companies would do that. They will enter a price war deliberately in order to win back market share. And it obviously made sense at the time, because you know, Airtel was coming in with a much stronger network. But then again, there's the long game. The long game would have it that, okay, you've slashed prices. It means your margins are also slashed. What then now will you do later on? Some companies over time, once they win back market share, they'll then now bundle certain packages around their product offering that they'll then now use to now, you know, try to gain to gain some of that lost value that came out of the price war. But then in this particular case, it'll be very interesting to see what happens at year end, because not only are they contending with the slashing of prices, lower margins, they're also contending with stiff competition, MTN, who are not messing around.
And MTN are good,
exactly, So you know, it's quite hectic. And you know, it's yes, we do believe that the 4G network actually does give them competitive advantage, because the spread of it is actually quite you know, it's quite wider compared to all the other competitors. And you know, it's what's obviously quite interesting is that, you know, going forward, would love to see how they leverage on this competitive advantage, and to see how they're going to now get more customers on board. It is a numbers game, and you know, the number of subscribers obviously does matter, but then what also matters is how, with the number of subscribers that they have, how they're able to bundle up services, packages that, you know, subscribers will love to actually use continuously. So that means that, you know, the management team will obviously be thinking about, you know, like services on top of the data access that they've actually been given. So we see a situation where the game is not for voice, the game is actually on data. And what sort of services that they, you know, that they offer. One would even argue that, you know, sometimes, you know, companies like this will probably want to consider teaming up with or rather collaborating with content providers. I would not be surprised that, you know, one of these mobile providers will probably even team up with your Netflix, and you know, you have cheaper Netflix coming on that platform. So there's several ways in which these teams can actually do this. But obviously at the moment, you know, technology is key. And when you also study the demographic as well, how many of your subscribers have particular technology that's able to embrace all of this? Because what you don't want is a white elephant. You can go to Shangombo, give them 4G, but then, you know, does the guy in Shangombo have you know, a 4G handset or 4G equipment? Those are the critical questions that the management team obviously has to answer. And it also speaks to why certain companies would choose a certain strategy of either being first to market with a particular technological solution or second to market. So first mover or second mover advantage.
You anticipate maybe they'll collaborate with, like in America, for instance, many of the phone service providers collaborate with handset makers.
Absolutely. I mean, we're already seeing that already. I mean, we've seen in some of the outlets that you see some of the phone handsets that they actually have there. Mm. Some of these will be actually network locked. That's one of the ways in which they actually do it. Mm-hmm. But we believe that the bigger strategy will be ensuring that not only do they get their LTE or 4G products out there, but also selling content on top of that. Yeah. Because there's no point in having a 4G phone or an LTE phone that has no services on it. You know, it's like it's like having a Lamborghini without petrol.
I see. Okay, sure. I see what you mean there, but that'll be a whole new line of work for them, though, right?
Not necessarily. Mm. You see, the thing is, they've already got the underlying platform. Mm. You already stream, for example, services like Netflix.
Yeah.
You've got iTunes Music. Yeah. You stream that. But then in this particular case, it's what it requires now is collaboration with content providers. So it's what's obviously a bit unfortunate is that we don't have a lot of content creators local, within Zambia. Yeah. But credit to the ones that actually are, there is quite a bit of content that's obviously coming out. We would actually say that, you know what, maybe they might want to change the strategy by also being a part of the content creation. Mm. So what they can then now do is maybe invest in, or sponsor little startups that actually create popular culture content.
Yeah.
Then that way, it will have people, subscribing to that service. I would actually foresee investing in Azuva type, have a lot of people now subscribe to that. So there's different ways, but we actually see that the future is, content. So the networks are there because you can imagine already the discussion has been around 5G. Are we ready for 5G?
5G, sure.
I don't think we are ready for 5G up until we address the data deficiency of current time on 4G.
Okay. Is that it for Airtel?
That is it for Airtel.
Okay. So half a year. So what are your thoughts on them and half a year? What
is impressive for me is obviously the improvement in terms of operation efficiencies.
Okay.
When a company now is trying to rein in costs, for me, that's always a good sign. We haven't looked at the operations margin at the moment because obviously this is just half year, but it was obviously indicated that it was north of 20%. Mm-hmm. And what we're now trying to monitor is companies that are listed on Luce and looking at their operating profit margin. Mm-hmm. Most of the companies are now coming in at over 30%. These are the good ones. Yeah. And Airtel looks like it's obviously one of them. So, we'll definitely keep an eye on that, but we're not invested in them at the moment, though we would desire, but we want to see how they come out and fight this price, these competitive forces.
One thing I did want to bring up, which I forgot to, I'm sure you are aware that Airtel, the parent company, is actually about to float its African assets on the stock exchange in India, I think.
Yes, yeah. We did follow up on that, but we haven't done any articles around that. But that's obviously quite significant because there's a lot of things that have obviously been happening around the Airtel story. Mm. I'll take listeners back a wee bit. What we noticed was that at some point in time, in terms of improving operational efficiencies, the company decided to offload all its telephone, all of its masts.
Yes,
and I think we covered that in one of the shows.
Yeah.
That was obviously a very good indicator because they've got no business owning masts. Remember, you have to note that some of these mobile companies are actually becoming content providers eventually. This is how these companies will naturally evolve.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm. All right. Very good. Thanks a lot for that. So, we're going to take our final break of the show. It's going to be another short one. When we come back, we'll get into the final segment of Outside In at Money. So please stay tuned. Remember, guys, get in touch with us. 0967-144-220. Prepare to take your questions and your comments. And also on social media, use the hashtag Money Night Show. All right, we'll be back shortly.
Your Business Radio.
For business on the go, visit www.moneyfmzambia.com to watch, stream, and download various programs from anywhere in the world.
Disclaimer.
All opinions expressed by our guests are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinion of Money FM or any of its affiliates.
Welcome back to the show. This was the final part of Outside In At Money with Moelo Chibesokunda of Financial Insights Zambia. I have no segue for this.
Well, I'll help you out.
Please do.
Inflation, people. Inflation.
Although, apparently we did have a decrease this month in inflation, whatever that means.
Well, you know what? Yeah. It's been hovering around the, you know, north of 7%, 8% thereabout. You know, in one of our latest articles, and this is where, you know, we kind of take a step aside, you know, from, you know, like our regular, you know, like discussion.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I always echo in most of our our shows is the issues around the macro environment.
Now, the
best place to get a feel of what the Zambian macro environment is looking like is obviously monitoring what's happening at the central bank in terms of the Monetary Policy Committee's statements.
Yeah.
They make four statements in a year. And just last week, though, you know, we've been searching the internet and, you know, very few websites actually have discussed what Dr. Denny Kalyalia, Bank of Zambia governor, came out of his statement. And, you know, we've got a beautiful article that's on our website that just basically discusses that. But then it also kind of takes our listeners back and readers back in terms of what some of the other statements were for 2018. So it gives a beautiful roundup of how MPC has actually moved this year.
Okay.
I'll have listeners know that at the beginning of the year, MPC obviously dropped the rate to 9.75. Now, since then, all the last three MPC announcements have had no change whatsoever. One of the things that we observed from the governor's statements was that there was obviously some concern around inflationary pressures. We have seen obviously over time, though the bank had indicated that they were obviously going to be looking at containing inflation between 6 to 8%. What we've noticed was that from the early part of this year, you know, inflation was on the shorter end of the 6 percentile. But then obviously by end of in fact it actually did leapfrog 8% briefly. But that's because of how, you know, the inflationary percentage is actually calculated when you look at some of the elements that are in there. Now, obviously, the governor does express concern that inflationary pressures will at some point in time have to make them nudge, you know, like nudge a bit in terms of what their position on MPC should actually be. So, you know, we're actually anticipating that next year's announcement, which is slated for February, I think around about the 20th, you know, we should be one to actually watch based on what goes on, you know, during this Christmas period. Now, one of the things that, and sadly that, you know, the Bank of Zambia did lament over is that, you know, unfortunately, the reduction in MPC rate, because you remember, they reduced the MPC rate by, you know, seven consecutive times leading up to February this year. But however, the net effect of you know, bank loans and, you know, it reducing the cost of credit is still remained fairly high, and it looked like as if you know, the bankers were obviously waiting for something. And, you know, for us at Financial Insight, we've always been deeply concerned about the cost of capital, because if cost of capital is high, you know, it makes it very difficult for for companies to seek financing to scale up their businesses. So one of the things that we've obviously observed is that, you know, the central bank has obviously been concerned about the non-performing loans, which obviously speaks to the cause, the high cost of capital. Normally, I think the benchmark mark is a maximum of about 10% on non-performing loans.
Okay.
We've been lurking around 12, 14.
Oh, really?
Thereabout, yeah. So it's been a bit of a sore point. And obviously, you know, Dr. Danny Kalalia obviously, you know, doesn't mince his words around it. Now, one of the things that we obviously noted that, you know, though NP, you know, non-performing loans were of deep concern, there's obviously the small matter of, you know, our exchange rate. Our exchange rate obviously took a bit of a beating. In Q3, we saw a reduction, according to the Bank of Zambia, of about 19%. Thereabout, depending on the timing, we calculated 20% from about Q2 to Q3. But you know, it's obviously well within that particular range. Now, this obviously, some of these things are what, you know, the Bank of Zambia governor describes as, you know, like some of the broader aspects that affect, you know, the risk and the robustness, that risks to the, you know, the robust economic growth that you know, that early MPC statements were hoping to achieve. But one of the things that is obviously quite interesting is that you know, as we've moved on, it, you know, even the central bank has now taken a step back to say, you know what, if inflationary pressures continue like this, you know, we will have to make a move. And you know, sadly, they would have not achieved, you know, the reduction in in, you know, in bank loans, but then they'll still need to contain inflation within the 6 to 8%.
Well, which they've really struggled with this year. Why do we think what do they think would be different next year?
Well, I mean, this is why it's, you know, this is why the next announcement, you know, looking at the data that's within this particular period, that, you know, the central bank will have to act. They will have to act. But then from a company's perspective, you know, your finance managers now, because most companies are now planning for next year.
Yeah.
So if maybe companies have particular capital, you know, capital intensive projects for next year, they'll obviously have to look at the capital structure of how they structure these deals. So do we go for more debt or do we now seek, you know, additional equity investors? Obviously, for us, our advice is, you know, to seek out equity investors. But then with equity investors comes the dilution of, you know, your shareholding. Many companies don't really like that. And maybe there might be policies around that ring fence them. But, you know, looking at alternative, you know, methods of raising capital for those projects, like such as corporate bonds, we actually anticipate, you know, that chances are that next year might be quite active around the corporate bond market. But then, you know, there's also the slight challenge of liquidity, which is something that, you know, the central bank has obviously alluded to, that, you know, liquidity has obviously been fairly tight. And this obviously streams down to your stock exchange as well. That's why, you know, there's not that much movement, because we've got an illiquid, you know, stock exchange. So there's a lot of impact around that. One of the other things that we also picked out was the gross international reserves. This is like the amount of dollar that the central bank holds. This has also been reducing, and, you know, it reduced from you know, from about 2.2 months worth of cover to 1.9 months, you know, 1.9 months worth of cover. So this is obviously something of concern, and the central bank has implemented a strategy where they're replenishing their reserves, you know, through purchasing of foreign exchange directly from the market, and through mineral royalty tax receipts. Exactly, yeah. So, you know, it's obviously going to be quite interesting in terms of the position that most of these commercial lenders actually take. You know, chances are, you know, commercial banks tend to be very, very interesting animals. What you tend to find is that maybe, you know, right now they might just decide to hold back. Some might just say, you know, scheme loans have been frozen a bit because we're trying to restructure. They'll create all sorts of stories, but then, you know, it's all in a way in response to how this thing has been going. But, you know, for us, the financial insight, it's just the curiosity. When MPC was going down, you know, the banks they crawled. They really, really crawled, and, you know, it's kind of like, you know, okay, central bank is doing its thing, the banks are also doing their own thing, and then you have the other bit where, you know, there's the canceling of some of those fees on bank accounts.
Oh,
as
yes,
well.
Sure.
Yeah, so that's also been a very bitter pill. Right now, the banks are scratching their heads. How are we going to make money now? But, you know, obviously it's going to be a very, very interesting one, you know, around how thing. But then this also now creates opportunities. Remember, we have the small matter of the microfinance microfinancing companies, which, sure, you know, some of them, like Bayport, have been enjoying a stellar year. So it'll be quite interesting to see, you know, MPC has been maintained now, but we'll see what happens in the new year and how it affects some of those other companies.
Thank you for that. Like,
no doubt. So this is just note to self around the macro environment.
Exactly. And, yeah, you tend to forget that that's a factor in the exactly business environment.
It is a fact. And, you know, we always encourage, you know, like our readers to, you know, to just think of the broader picture, you know, of it. And, you know, another thing that we'd love to touch on is obviously what's been going on in international markets.
Indeed.
There's been a lot of buzz about, you know, who's the king of the world in Apple and Microsoft. You know, this is quite interesting. And all it is basically just about valuation. Essentially, what's happened is that, you know, earlier on this week, Microsoft, out of the blue, all of a sudden overtook Apple as the most valuable company.
Yeah.
Yes, by valuation. Now, by valuation, what that means is that you multiply the number of stocks that company has and its market price. Apple has obviously been taking a bit of a beating in the last couple of weeks, obviously because of the lackluster performance of their new series, or rather the projections for their new series iPhones. And however, they've been very strong on the services side. But lo and behold, in the background, something's been happening around cloud, cloud computing.
Exactly.
Microsoft has obviously consolidated its position around cloud computing, and which is quite interesting because, in as much as Tim Cook of Apple has been trying to consolidate his position as, you know, king of services around phones, Microsoft has, you know, transitioned the company from, you know, being that equipment maker, software maker, to now a cloud computing, cloud computing juggernaut. Mm-hmm. And this is where it's actually seeing most of its revenue coming from, because most companies, like I'd mentioned earlier about, you know, the procurement event that I attended last week, though it was an Oracle-sponsored event as well. What we noticed was obviously there's a lot of attention that's being paid to cloud, and cloud appears to, or rather cloud is the future in terms of, you know, companies even in Africa benefiting by reduction in costs, you know, costs around that. Now, you know, when you look at you look at Satya Nadella's strategy around that, this is why, you know, like, I mean, a lot of people, the buzz around cloud was always very, very huge, but it's never really been huge in Zambia. And when it actually should be, because there are a lot of companies that invest so much infrastructure in service, etc. But what is also quite nice is that when you look at the DNA of Microsoft, Microsoft has been in existence since the 80s. These are guys that have transitioned over time, and they continue to make themselves relevant. So them being kings of cloud right now is not no surprise, and hence why they found themselves, you know, coming neck to neck with Apple. So yeah, that's it for me.
But many people wouldn't even know that for many people it's a surprise. They're like, oh, Microsoft is still in this fight.
They actually are. But I think it's how you think about Microsoft now, because I think back in the day, when I was younger, we used to think of Microsoft as being Windows and then Office.
Yeah, exactly.
But now it's more than that. You know, it's more than that. I mean, these are guys who are, like, they're a services company that offer services that sit off the cloud. You can actually buy, well, you don't have to buy, you can subscribe to using Microsoft Office.
Exactly.
Which a lot of people do.
We take that for granted.
Exactly,
actually.
Yes. Yeah. As opposed to spending thousands and thousands of dollars on software, and, you know, you just subscribe to it on the cloud. I mean, with internet speeds, I mean, we're just talking about Airtel and the improved 4G. You know, these are different, you know, opportunities that kind of give, you know, Africa and Zambia a chance to, like, leapfrog in terms of
It's technology. Like, they've really doubled down as well on their corporate clients, really. You know what I mean? Maybe not so much like Apple and the Amazon's there. Well, no, Amazon is actually different.
Amazon is pretty huge. You know, they've got
actually
a really
big
cool
with the corporate clients.
Amazon,
as well.
I've even taken it one step further. You know that you could actually subscribe to having servers run your company's business, like, you know.
Yes, exactly. I've heard about
from
that.
Amazon.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
So now, yes, it does affect the status quo, because then you're thinking, if you have a legion of system, you know, like database administrators, do they still have a job? maybe we need to rethink that. But but you know, these are just some of the things around you know, this new technology, especially around cloud, that you know, gives you food for thought.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for coming through.
Okay, thank you.
And everybody else, so stay tuned. Disclaimer.
All opinions expressed by our guests are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinion of Money FM or any of its affiliates.